Today is the third Sunday of Lent. The theme for my sermon is the cross, the way of life and peace. A child once asked their parent the question, "What is good about Good Friday?" The child had just done Good Friday in the RE class at school. The lesson, like any other, was filled with facts and information. The teacher told the story as recorded in the Bible. They discussed the possible reasons why all four Gospels were not the same. They talked about crucifixion as a Roman form of execution. They considered the difference between friendship and betrayal. They looked at the process of the arrest and trial. They even talked about the possible scientific reasons for the sky being darkened for 3 hours, an eclipse of the sun perhaps. The teacher had given the when, how and what, but not really the why. So the child asked their parent, "Why, if Jesus died on Good Friday, we don't call it bad or Black Friday?" This is the paradox, is it not? For what looks like failure is in fact victory, but only if one believes in the resurrection. And those who do believe call it Good Friday. You might think I'm preempting Holy Week, but our lectionary readings today do encourage us to look at the cross before and after the crucifixion, rather than the crucifixion itself. We look from the point of view of Jesus and the disciples before, and from Paul's point of view afterwards. What we will see is that the cross, the instrument of torture hanging around our necks, engraved into and displayed upon our communion tables, depicted in our windows and so on. The cross is the way to life and peace. In last week's Gospel reading, Mark 8, 34 and 35, Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." In John's Gospel today, we have the so-called cleansing of the temple stories, also recorded in the other three Gospels. The difference is that in Matthew, Mark and Luke's versions, the story is set towards the end of Jesus' ministry, in the final week of his life, in Holy Week, immediately prior to his crucifixion. In John's Gospel, it occurs at the beginning of his ministry. Scholars have questioned why there should be such a difference. Rather like the differing accounts of the events of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, the RE class had discussed. We do not need to worry that John was trying to change history and implying that Matthew, Mark and Luke were wrong. It is possible, of course, but unlikely, that there were two cleansings of the temple, one at the beginning and one at the end of Jesus' ministry. In the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, Jesus is recorded as coming to Jerusalem only once in his adult life, so that's when the event had to happen. In John's Gospel, Jesus goes to and from Jerusalem a number of times, and if the cleansing happened early on, it would explain why in Mark we read that scribes came down from Jerusalem, presumably to find out more about what this man, who claimed authority from God, was doing. In effect, they were keeping an eye on him. John's purpose at the beginning of his gospel is to affirm Jesus as God's son, and he does so not with the birth narrative, but with his opening prologue. In the beginning was the Word. He follows this up with Jesus' baptism when John the Baptist declares, "And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." We then have the calling of the disciples and the miracle at Cana. All of these things point to who Jesus is. At the temple, Jesus made his own declaration in his challenge to the temple priests. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jerusalem temple, visited annually by Jews for Passover, was the place where God resided among his people. When Jesus spoke of the temple of his body, as John tells us, he was saying that he himself was the place where God resides or abides with his people. This is the radical Jesus. In the cleansing of the temple, Jesus doesn't just get rid of the money changers who are defrauding the pilgrims. The cleansing indicates that the old system of sacrifice is no longer any good. It doesn't just need cleaning up, it needs replacing altogether. The cross is the only way to life and peace. He himself will, by his death and resurrection, be the new temple. The Jews had ancient traditions about the temple being destroyed and rebuilt, but Jesus took this tradition and applied it to himself. When the Jews, including Jesus, came to Jerusalem at Passover, the feast reminding the Jews of their ancestors' escape from slavery in Egypt, they gave thanks and celebrated. Jesus, in his death and resurrection, would effectively replace Passover, because those who believe will escape from the slavery of sin through it. This is how the cross becomes the way of life and peace, and why Good Friday is good and not bad or black. John tells us that after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus had said and done in the temple. They just thought he wanted his father's house to stop being merely a marketplace. And they still didn't understand after the crucifixion. At that point, they thought it was all over. No, they only understood after the resurrection. On this basis, those who heard the whole story from Peter and other disciples should have understood straight away. The book of Acts after Pentecost indicates that. Acts 2, verse 41. "Those who welcomed the message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added." Paul took the same gospel to the Gentiles of Corinth and many other places. In what we refer to as his first letter to the Corinthians, it is clear that having heard the gospel from Paul, some of the folk who heard and accepted baptism in Christ had gone astray. There were divisions in the church, so Paul made an appeal to them to listen to the message of the cross again and not to get bogged down with who baptized them after they had heard the message. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And he concludes, "God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." The cross does seem like foolishness because it looks like the end. Why is Good Friday good? That's what the disciples thought. but after the resurrection, they could see the wisdom and power of God in the cross. The cross only works because it's followed by the resurrection and because of the wisdom of God, which far outweighs the wisdom of man. When Paul spoke his message of the cross for the first time to the people of Corinth, a wealthy, intellectual, cultured, pagan city, he told a story which he knew the people would think madness. No one gets crucified by the Romans, gets raised by God, and becomes Lord over all the world, let alone follow them. To the Corinthians, this was just a story about an executed man from a despised race. The Jews wouldn't believe it either, because they expected the Messiah to defeat the Romans, not be killed by them. Paul didn't try to be clever when he proclaimed the gospel, hoping to win converts with persuasive words. Instead, he let the cross do the talking, and in doing so, released the power of God, which is way beyond the power of mere words. For those who hear and believe, this is the wisdom and power of God, which speaks into the hearts of people who are prepared to listen. The cross is the way of life and peace, but to the majority of the population in our communities, the cross is meaningless. It might be a nice symbol, a pretty piece of jewellery, the source of a story to give an excuse for a spring feast. But that's as far as it goes. And this is the folly, the foolishness of human beings, that they don't know about or choose to ignore the cross. They place their wisdom in their intellect and their life in their wealth and culture, just like the Corinthians did 20 centuries ago. And then they're surprised when life and peace eludes them. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Those words from Paul should be an encouragement to us that when we have the opportunity to do so, we proclaim the cross in the simplest of terms and let the power of God in the cross do his work. This is why when I and colleagues conduct a funeral, a wedding or a baptism, lead collective worship or do an assembly in school, this is why we don't shy away from proclaiming the gospel. If we don't proclaim it, how will they hear? We aren't asked to be clever orators, but just to tell the story from our own experience. God will do the rest. And he can do that because Good Friday is not Bad Friday.